Going back to the gospel lesson that was read to you this morning in John chapter 20, verse 27, it reads to us once again, "Do not doubt, but believe." If you have ever been to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, or if you have been to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, many of you are aware that those two are popular vacation destinations in this area. And when you go to each one of these destinations, there are quite a few things that you can do. For example, if you go to Myrtle Beach, people like to go to the beach. Or maybe to an outlet mall. Or maybe golfing. If you go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, you have a chance to look at the beautiful mountains and all the resorts that are there. Or maybe you had the opportunity to go to Dollywood. I don't know. So there are a lot of things that you can do in each one of those places. But however, I mention those two cities because they both have an attraction that is in common. And if you have been there, many of you know that each one of them have what is called a Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium. Now, I'm not talking about A-U-D-I-T-O-R-I-U-M. It's O-D-D-I-T-U-R-I-O-M. Spelled it wrong, but that's okay. And for those of you who have never visited a Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium, it is a collection of bizarre but true facts, events, and items. For example, if you have ever been there, you can go and see two-headed animals. You can see at least a life-size portrait of the tallest human being in the world, Robert Wardlow, who was 8 feet and 11 inches. There are authentic shrunken heads. And there are micro sculptures that you could look at that fit in the needle of an eye. There is an 8-foot portrait of Albert Einstein that's made totally out of toast. Or maybe you have seen a portrait of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that is made out of a collection of stamps. And there's all other artifacts that are in this place. And when you take a look at these artifacts and everything that Mr. Ripley had put together in one of these auditoriums or one of these museums, I like to say, you look at it initially and think, there is no way that this can happen. It is unbelievable that some of the things that you see in these places. But yet, these things are true. Believe it or not. And as Ripley's, Believe It or Not, always says, and if you were like me, in the comic section of the paper, they always had a little fact every Sunday about a Ripley's Believe It or Not. Some things are just hard to believe. It goes past our rational way of thinking. It assaults the reasoning of our minds. It makes us think that this can't be real, this has got to be fake, and I've got to see it for myself. Here, in particular text, we find out here in John chapter 20 that Jesus had already been crucified. And we find ourselves in the setting that the disciples found themselves in the upper room, may have been the same one that Jesus had given them the last meal. We find out that they are all huddled in this place together. We find that they are huddled in this place together because they are afraid. See, they were the ones that hung out with Jesus. They were guilty, as we say, by association. And they knew that if Jesus had been falsely convicted, hung there to die, the same thing might happen to them. Because remember, The Jewish authorities were still in charge. And we don't know if this is true, but they might have been looking for them. So you can imagine as they got together and spent time in this upper room, they were looking out. Every knock that came to the door and every footstep that came near to the door, they were looking, they were hovering, they were hiding, they were trembling, and they did not know exactly what to do. They knew that Jesus had already been gone, and their lives could be ended any second now. They found themselves in a very, very, very difficult situation. But as they were gathered there within this upper room, the doors were locked, the windows were shut. There was no way to get in this place. As they were huddled there, probably talking about what is going to happen next to us, maybe they were sharing some bread together, maybe they were talking about, well, woe is me and how can we get out of here? Jesus shows up. And as we see that Jesus shows up, the first thing that Jesus tells them is a particular greeting that is very common. Peace be with you. Now you can imagine when they saw Jesus, they probably wondered, number one, how did he get in here? Because the door was closed and everything was locked. But number two, we can't believe that he has reappeared on the scene. This Jesus that we've spent so much time with, that we have seen, who have done great miracles, who have continued to confront the authorities, this one who they smiled in front of his face and talked about him behind his back, the ones who wanted to get rid of him could not do so because Jesus was in this place. And as Jesus told them, peace be with you, you can imagine the joy that they had within their hearts and their minds. Jesus told them peace, and Jesus showed them his hands and his side, the nail marks that were there. And they were sitting there wondering and amazed at what had happened to Jesus. They had joy because they did not believe that Jesus was ever going to come back again. Although Jesus told them over and over again, I go to make a place for you. I will not be here long. I will leave you an advocate, the Holy Spirit. We find out that what was impossible, what was hopeless, what was an event of despair for them, that Jesus is now back among them. Can you imagine the joy that they experienced? They could probably say, Jesus, you can let us out of here. Jesus, you came back to confront the authorities. Jesus, now you can go back and do your mission. But Jesus wasn't there for that. For Jesus gave them peace and breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus gave them their marching orders that they were going to go out into the world and carry out the ways of Christ. They were excited. They were happy because the one who had been lost is now found within them in that presence. They were overjoyed and they couldn't wait to tell others. But there's always one. Always one. Now, interesting enough, Thomas showed up on the scene. And Jesus was not there by this time. So when Thomas apparently had showed up, and we don't know why Thomas did not show up. The text does not tell us. All it tells that he was not there. Thomas, who was called Didymus, the twin. And when they told him that we have seen the Lord, Thomas was like, y'all must be crazy. There is nothing like this that has ever happened within our lives. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and see the marks on his side, I will not believe. All of us know somebody like that, don't we? You just got some people that just don't believe nothing unless they see it. He was something else. But the title that's been given to Thomas, Doubting Thomas, is kind of wrong. See, because Thomas was not a doubter, because truly Thomas believed in Jesus. Earlier, we find out when Jesus had been telling them about Lazarus is dead, and he also referring to his death, Thomas said, "Well, let us go that we may die with him." That doesn't sound like about it he was doubting, does it not? And then we find out later on when Jesus told them, "I'm going to leave and prepare a place for you, and you know where I'm going," Thomas says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Thomas was one of those questioning people. Don't you have these people that just like question you all the time? And then half the time, you know, they ask you a question that they know the answer to. Don't that make you mad? Well, you know the answer, especially when they do that in front of a group. You know the answer to this question. And so you're going to ask me so I can tell you to justify you in front of everybody else. That's just crazy. We find out that Thomas was one of those that he needed to be sure, that he needed to see it for himself, that Thomas was not doubting the existence of Jesus, but was doubting the existence of somebody being resurrected, because no one has ever seen that before. Even the disciples had never seen that before. We find out here that maybe the reason why Thomas was not with the rest of them, because Thomas was finding himself in a state of hopelessness and despair. All of them did, but maybe Thomas took a little bit harder. Maybe Thomas, when he had his questions answered, truly was a man of faith. But we find that sometimes, although we want to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even we have questions. When a loved one dies, we say, "Lord, I know I believe, but why did this happen?" When we find out you got passed over for that job promotion, that you've worked hard, your degree is just as good as anybody else's, but you were passed up for a variety of reasons. The first thing that we say is, "Well, Lord, I know that you're here, but what happened? I was the most qualified out of anybody else." We find it in relationships, do we not? When you're going out with somebody else and you have prayed that the Lord will bring you somebody and that person's right in front of you, but yet something goes wrong. The first question that we ask is, "Lord, I believe that you brought this person or so to me, but what happened?" See, that's the kind of doubt and questioning that Thomas had been undergoing in his life when he found out that Jesus had been resurrected. He found himself in a state of being hopeless because Jesus was hope for him, but yet Jesus had been gone. And what are you talking about, someone coming back from the dead that we've never experienced before? He was probably in despair. You know, sometimes in the midst of grief, some people like to get together with others and hang out and be consoled, but some people just need a little time and space, is it not? You don't need to be hanging around everybody all the time. So we find that maybe for Thomas, he took it a little bit differently and acted a little bit differently than everybody else. But sure enough, the text tells us that for 7 days, Thomas was not believing what the disciples were saying, and they kept coming back to him every day. "Thomas, we've told you, we've seen the Lord. You ain't seen nobody." What are you talking about, somebody coming back from the dead? This has never happened to us before. "Thomas, I'm telling you, he's coming back. You need to go on about your business and leave me alone." 8 days later, exactly a week, they're gathered in the upper room again. And now Thomas is with them. And sure enough, like it happened 8 days ago, Jesus shows up. Jesus gives his greeting like he does again, "Peace be with you." And then you can imagine that some of them turn around to Thomas, "I told you so. You didn't pay attention to me." And you can imagine that Thomas was looking at this man called Jesus right there in front of him and everybody else in the flesh. And sure enough, after he had given his greeting, he went to him and said, put your hands in the nail marks of my hands, and put your hand and your finger in my side, and see for yourself that I am here. Now keep in mind, he was not necessarily chastising Thomas, but he was giving him a blessing. Let him know that, yes, I am back. And now you can see for yourself that I am here. And the first thing that Thomas says, my Lord and my God. For him, seeing was believing. But yet the Lord tells him, blessed are those who don't see, yet they believe. We find out, brothers and sisters, that Thomas came back to God in a different way. He did what I always call the Missouri Christian deal. We'll believe it when we see it. But yet, we also find out that maybe for Thomas, when he saw and experienced the risen Christ for himself, that whatever he went through, that hopelessness, that despair, that momentary doubt, all that disappeared within his life because he experienced the risen Christ. We find out today that there are so many people who are out there who are hopeless, who have been turned out, who have been despairing about their lives. We find out that there are people who feel like there is no hope out there within the world. And there are some who come to church every Sunday just because, but not having the strong faith to know what God can do in their lives. For yet people, we know that some people come to church because they don't want to be lonely. Some people come to church because they have friends they could talk to. Some people come to church because they like the preacher or they like the music. I tell people, don't be fooled, because everybody who comes to church don't necessarily believe strongly in the Lord that you serve. But I will tell you this. If you're hopeless, if you're despairing, if you're doubting, we can let you know that there is a God who is still here. We can let you know that there is a God that is always present within your life. Because many of us here, we've been through that, have we not? We've been through the questioning. We've been through the experiences. We've been hurt. We've been talked about. We have been dumped. We have been passed over. But yet, the only thing that did not change within our lives was our belief in this person called Jesus. It is that one that still kept us going. One who still lifted us up on the wings of hope. One who has continued to walk with us. One who is still shone like the bright morning star. This person named Jesus is the one that unravels our fears and our hopelessness and our despair, that lets us know throughout all of that, this God is still present in our lives. See, sometimes what needs to unravel within our lives, like it happened for Thomas, is that we can't get caught up in the hopelessness of life, and you can't get caught up in the despair of life, and you can't get caught up on the things that are not successful in our lives. Because God knows what's going on with us. God knows that we've been through the ups and downs, but God is still present with us, and no matter what we do, that is what God is calling us to do today. Brothers and sisters, it's not seeing is believing. It's believing is seeing. Because we believe, we can see a brighter day through our troubles. Because we believe, no matter what the doctors and others told us, God still has a plan. You see, it is because of all the things that are going on within the world. We do not believe what we see, we do not see what we believe, but we believe what we see. The one who has created us and made us and allowed us to live and to breathe and to have our being today. We believe, then we see. We believe in the one who has come for us. And if we believe in that one, then we can see the possibilities that God has with us within our life, even through the midst of all the despair and hopelessness that's going on. We can believe that no matter what happens, there is a brighter day, that there will be a tomorrow, that there will be another start within our lives. That is what God is calling us to today, brothers and sisters. It's not seeing is believing. It's believing is seeing. That something different
can happen because I believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a story some years ago about a woman who had a son who was fighting back in the Iraq War back in the early 90s. And so she had loved her son. So he went away, and one day she got the dreaded phone call saying that your son has been killed by an IUD, you know, one of those devices. And we're sorry to let you know of this. And so the woman cried for 3 weeks on end, inconsolable. And you would too if you had lost a loved one. Then at the end of 3 weeks, she got a phone call. On the other end, it was her son. And she said, I thought you were dead. Oh no, the Army made a mistake. And she was mad at the Army, but she was so happy that her son was back. Despair and hopelessness does not last always, because God always has an answer. Brothers and sisters, today, don't let your hopelessness, don't let your despair, don't let your situation keep you back from believing in a God who loves you. Believing in a God who supports you. Believing in a God who still lifts you up. Believing in a God who still walks with you. Yes, you will have questions and you will have some doubts. But the presence of God and the belief in God through God's Son, Jesus Christ, allows us to understand that no matter what question we have, that this God will always be there for us in our lives. Amen. Amen. Our invitational hymn is, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, number 384 in our hymnals. And now the doors of the church are open. Maybe there are some of you who want to give your lives to Christ or recommit your lives to Christ. Maybe there are some of you who want to join us here at Davie Street Presbyterian Church. Or maybe there are some of you that need a prayer to know that you're going through hopelessness and despair and doubt. But to know that as you have those questions, we serve a God who is still able to hear us and to be with us no matter what we go through. If you are one of those persons, we ask you to come to the front as we all stand and sing our invitational hymn.